We're just in her office. She'll be here within minutes.
Good morning, Sue.
Why don't we make Chris's life easier and just once go around the table, and that will also let the tape know who's here. Dave, why don't you start?
Dave Williams.
Tony LaGalbo.
Shauna Sullivan.
Ruth Ann Fuller.
Gail Deegan.
Sue Jakowski.
Sandy Garian.
Matt Olsen.
Chris, thank you for being here, and I think we are here primarily to listen to you and ask some questions after we've heard from you.
Yes, what I want to do today is just give you the status of where we're at with the audit. Dave, would you mind? So, really what I want to do today is just go through and just give you a summary of where we're at from an engagement standpoint. Talk about what some of the open items are, what the city owes us. It's a couple of things that we still need to do. Also talk about our schedule completion as it relates to the audit. Also talk about a change in scope to the audit. Feel free to ask any questions as I'm going along. We started our primary field work September 10th. We have substantially completed our field work as of last week. There's two really big, major things that we need to do. One of them is we still need to audit one federal grant, and we are going to go and perform one site visit, which I want to discuss with you in a few minutes. There's certain information that's owed to complete the audit. We're going to discuss that a little bit further detail in a couple minutes. Two additional federal grants were required to be audited this year, and we're going to discuss that a little bit further. We're on track to be completed by the time our December exit conference comes around. And to date, I'm happy to report that there's no major findings in the report on internal control over financial reporting or in the major federal award programs. So that's good news, especially on the federal award program side, because it's pretty difficult these days, at least from my experience. Typically we have material weaknesses in internal control, things like that. So the fact that we're through all but one grant, I think, is a good sign that your major federal awards are in pretty good shape. Okay. Getting into some of the open items that we require to wrap up the audit, one of them being the workers' compensation actuarial evaluation. I know that's in process, and that should be relatively end of the month. So. And that, from our standpoint, we'll have a little bit of testing to do, but that's not a game changer. As long as we have it by the end of the month, there will be no issue. We're also waiting on lag reports from your health insurance providers. One thing we always have to do when it comes to recording the incurred but not reported claims is give these third-party lag reports to verify the liability that's been posted.
And that's up to our health insurance companies?
Yes, so what they'll do is provide the claims activity through September. We'll get those and compare them to what's been recorded as an entry to the books. And then we'll, if they're significantly different from a materiality standpoint, we'll discuss it with Dave and say, hey, you know what, your estimates change a little bit this year. We need to post this adjustment. Or if it's within reason, we leave the entry just as posted on the ledger.
Do you self-insure?
We do.
Yeah. And who's the provider, or who's the administrator?
Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim.
Tufts
and Harvard Pilgrim.
Oh,
have
two.
Three other items that we're waiting for are the letter of transmittal, management's discussion analysis, and the statistical section of the CAFR. However, those we're not going to receive, and we don't expect from David's office until after we submit the initial draft. David will update the MD&A, as well as the transmittal letter, statistical section, and then when it comes back to us, we'll put it all together and then issue a final draft for Dave's review.
And your initial draft, do you expect to give
October
to Dave?
31st. We're also waiting on several, some support related to a couple of assets and liabilities on the balance sheet, but nothing significant. And we have probably 5 or 10 other very small items we're waiting for various departments. Again, those aren't, they're not game changers. It's just we're wrapping up work papers, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, those types of things. From a federal grant standpoint, like I said, we've audited all but one grant. We initially had our energy efficiency grant scheduled for September 17th. The grant administrator ended up canceling that visit when we were going out to audit it. So that still needs to be rescheduled. So I know Marissa, who's the supervisor on the job, she's going to be contacting him this week, because I believe he was on vacation last week, to schedule that as soon as possible. The one thing that's really important is that whenever that does get rescheduled, then we're trying to figure out where we're going to fit that in. But when we go out, everything that we requested has got to be ready, because if we don't get to it, or we can't get it scheduled until mid-November, and we go out there and it's not ready, your federal report's not going to be in final draft format by the time we have our exit conference. So just wanted to throw that out there, that this one, it will be important that everything, we have everything ready and we'll work out to build that day.
And Marissa, whoever it is, really understands that. And
Marissa is
his employee.
Is your employee. Do the folks on our side understand the importance?
They do, but this is the one we've always had problems with. This is the one in the public building department, the ARRA grant that we had the comments on last year.
Who is the administrator of the grant?
The public building commissioner in the final analysis.
Good morning, Lenny. Lenny Gentile joined us. Is the problem because of the complicity of letting documents or complexity of it? Or?
No, the problem is that the problem with this particular grant is that it was awarded and turned over to a department that has little or no experience in dealing with federal grants, number one. Number two, the individual who's been responsible, directly responsible for the day-to-day administration, has changed 3 times. Mm. The lesson probably going forward is that we shouldn't be assigning the large federal grants to departments that have no experience or no mm-hmm. personnel.
That's a good
that have experience.
Yeah.
But this is on Maureen's.
Yeah, and it's on mine too. I mean, it's basically a matter of the individual who has assumed responsibility was off on vacation when they planned to actually do the work, and to be honest with you, I have no idea why he was scheduled for vacation then.
But that idea
it has to be resolved. So.
The idea of when you have something major like this, I think it is a good idea to have some centralized management of it, not running of the grant, but to expect people who are in running of it to understand all that it's always going to get to the bottom of their list.
Well, and other things get in the way because you have operational.
Yes.
Not like schools with a grants administrator
right.
who's focused on grants administration, the community development department. It's focused on grants administration,
right.
even the police department that has right. capability. Here you've got people that are art and mache, that are
yeah.
got day-to-day
right.
maintenance and construction responsibilities that are also trying to learn what these rules are. And even if they know what they are, we have numerous times last year with them missing filing deadlines
mm-hmm.
for reports. So.
I think it's sort of human nature. It happens in all big organizations. If there's certain people who have the skill set to do it, and others who have other things that take priority, and instead of hitting your head against a brick wall.
Well, this is one of the major issues when it comes to federal grants. This just doesn't apply to the city of Newton. This
right.
applies to,
right.
in my opinion, all cities and towns or local governments that don't have a centralized grants administrator. Schools are typically a lot better because a lot of schools have the centralized grants person, and guess what? They understand how the federal grant program works because there is a standardization of the process for, you know, you have different types of grants, but 75% to 80% are still going to function the same. The same cost principles are going to apply to all of your federal grants. If you get a department who's never had a federal grant, I promise you, he's not going to understand what OMB Circular 87 is. It, by the way, neither would I. You know, it's that thick. There's a lot of risk when it comes to non-compliance with federal grants when you don't have somebody who's a seasoned professional in the administration of those. So, and especially with the ARA tacked on more requirements, as well as when we come in from an outside perspective, it's a higher risk program.
What does ARA stand for?
The American Recovery
Act. Oh, the Recovery Act?
Yep, Recovery and Reinvestment Act. But, and they actually, I mean, they pretty much, the feds pretty much told us, lower your materiality, we want to know everything that's going on with these Recovery Act monies. So it's definitely, every time there's an hour, any type of hour program, we're going to audit it, and it doesn't matter how small the finding, we're going to report it, because that's what they want us to do.
And this is definitely not one that we want on the front page of the tab.
Absolutely not. But you had a lot of findings on this to the energy efficiency grant last year. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was probably at five,
at least
related to this one grant.
Mm-hmm. Two questions. Dave, do you think you and Maureen are in close enough contact with Art and Mache that whatever has to happen in the next 4 weeks, you're confident we're on top? And then I think the only question for you and Maureen would be, does this continue next year, this grant?
The ARA?
No.
So
it expires. Okay.
So that's the first.
Matt.
Just a question. I mean, it's probably less for you than maybe for me, Dave, but if there's a lot of kind of knowledge on the school side, is there any sharing that goes on, or did I not understand that correctly?
Sure. Well, school grants office is tremendous. I mean, it's rarely there's ever an issue with them, but I think they probably have got more than they can handle. There are ways, and we're going to talk about, Chris is going to talk about another grant now, where police department was involved, the school department was involved, and the public building department was involved. And in retrospect, it would have been better to have the school department take the lead on it. There's not the kind of formal coordination process, though, that I think it'd be nice to have, where when a grant, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe going forward when somebody comes in for acceptance before the finance committee on a city grant, we need to spend more time focused on how this grant is going to actually be administered. I haven't forced that issue with the Finance Committee, and that probably is where it belongs. And before it's actually authorized, it's going to be assigned to somebody who can deal with it. It may be that our Planning and Community Development Department, in this particular case, could have played a bigger role. But good point.
The other federal grant where we have some open items relates to the COP Secure Our Schools grant, which is they were just referring to. We need a listing of the security cameras that were purchased and installed at Newton South, and also just access to the employee timesheets who worked on the emergency lighting and sign projects. So that's just those things that are requested there and that are listed as that's a normal course of the audit process. We're not requesting that because we found anything. It's part of what we need. And my understanding is that will be available soon. So, and then the other grants, most closely what we're waiting for are final reports to be filed. It's still, we just got through September. So once the final reports come in, they'll send us copies and stuff. But those are nominal items that are just part of the course of wrapping up the audit. And I don't see any issue with that part, getting it wrapped up. My bigger issue is the one we haven't even gone out to do yet, the energy efficiency one. So, but other than that, I mean, the federal grants process has gone well.
So the security cameras, we also have them at North, but that was part of the North construction budget, so that had nothing to do with the grants, right?
Correct.
So it's just South.
Yeah.
But people know that the list is due from them, because
yes.
We can certainly.
Yes. And I'll double check that. I know Evelyn would have requested it. I don't know who Evelyn would have requested it from, so
okay.
I'll double check. And
this is the one that got confusing, because Art Cabral had a piece of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Hugh Downing had a piece of it. Carol had a piece of it.
Carol will have this. Carol will have this list. Carol Chaffetz.
Okay.
And also Elaine Sturzen in the grants office will make sure she'll collaborate. And certainly if there was a problem, or if maybe internal training was needed regarding the energy grant, I'm sure that we could work something out with Elaine Sturzen and her expertise to collaborate or give people some guidelines of how the deadlines are met and
right. All
the materials are gathered. You know, Sue knows in preparation for the audits.
Right.
A lot of work is done before the auditor comes
to make sure
that the material is just there.
You're right, yeah. Absolutely. If not, then you have a lot of findings, right? I mean, it's just the way the federal requirements work. It's hard enough for, it's difficult for us to keep up with every time they change standards and the regulations, because every year there's changes to the regs, and you got to follow those through, and it's a lot of times that the grantee's not aware of it. They're not tied into that loop where they need to be tied into to effectively administer and monitor the grant. So that's a good suggestion, I think, Sandy. And the only other, from an open item standpoint, the management letter. We're going to go out and do one site visit. We were thinking about going out to Parks and Rec, to do a site visit out there. We did one back in 2007. It was about 5 years ago. So we're going to go revisit it. I know there's a lot of things going on with the police department. I think that's sort of been beaten up enough, and you are aware of the issues that are out there. So I was thinking of we do a Parks and Rec. I just wanted to know how everybody on the committee felt about that.
Well, they move, so don't get lost. Right?
Where'd they go?
They're in the corner. They're not Northernville anymore.
All right. I'd say you had a problem if I was Northernville. Nobody's here.
My understanding is that Dave had asked you, Chris, to do some work on cash and checks that were being taken in not at City Hall. Is that correct?
Yep.
Well,
focusing on Parks and Rec, though.
Oh, I see. I missed that. I'm not. But I think this is worthy of discussion. Should there only be one remote site visit? Is that sufficient? And should it really be, if you were to limit it to one, is Parks and Rec correct?
Limited to one as a practical matter, because that's all he's willing to do for the fee that we're paying him. Anything else beyond that, we're going to do ourselves, or hire him to do more.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. So, site visits, from an audit perspective, right? We just deal with materiality. That's what we care about. So, we look outside, see where you're collecting, the most money, and say, you know what? There's a lot of money going on out there. From a audit risk standpoint, we need to go take a look at this. There's nothing that I have any concern about in Newton where if I didn't go out and do a site visit that the financial statements are at risk of being misstated. I'm not uncomfortable about that.
Because the amounts of monies are so small.
Correct.
Relative to the total amount.
That's exactly right. But I will say this, I mean, over the years, we typically, what we've always done is we've taken, you know what, because when we first started, there was lots of issues in City Hall related to, like, the treasurer's office and stuff. And we spent a lot of time in there making sure, you know, we were comfortable with our opinion as it relates to those activities. But over the years, we've gone out and we do site visits, you know, for the pure benefit of, like, let's get a manager letter comment, because as everybody in here knows, we can go out to a department and document their process, and I can promise you we're going to find something. Something meaning that there's a way that you can strengthen your internal controls as it relates to that department. So, and, you know, over the years, I don't think we've really, you know, I say this the right way, said, you know what, we want you to go do two site visits this year. We'd like you to go do two site visits. We'd like you to go do, we'd like you to go visit this department specifically. I have some concerns and stuff like that. We used to do it, we did like a parking meetings, probably 3, 4, 5 years ago. Tim Parker and the rest of them, we had the parking meters. We used to have 2 or 3 that we'd do a year. So, and typically the way that we like to do that is during our spring, during our preliminary work, we would go out and we would do those site visits. But the last few years, that hasn't happened. We haven't been asked to go out and to do these things. David did contact me probably, you know, a few months ago to talk about if we could go out and take a look at some of the decentralized cash receiving processes. And I told him for this time of year, I'll be able to get one in, but I don't know how much more, just from a time perspective, because this is when we have all of our other audits going on as well, and we got to get the CAFR out and the federal report. So we do have some timing issues. But as we roll into like next year, you know, if we want to pick, you know, 2 or 3 a year for us to go out and do site visits, we're more than willing to do that. Let's put it that way.
What are you thinking, Lenny?
Well, if you're going to pick one department, Parks and Rec would make sense because they have so many programs that I assume they're collecting money for. So I could see, you know, that the rationale for going there. And then, as Chris says, if we think that we ought to be doing more, then we can plan for it ahead of time and ask them to look at other departments next year.
The three relevant ones are police, parks, and rec, and school. I assume those are the three. Are there others?
Police is in the news lately. The police does not, except if you take details out of it, the police receipt collection is rarely, very small.
And it was, so in terms of dollar amounts.
And different points of collection, right. and different people who are actually handling cash, parks and recs and schools.
Where are we on the project of at least documenting all the points in the city where cash comes in?
That's all documented, but it's
so we know right now we know where it is, and we've got some size to it.
It's in our chart of accounts. Our chart of accounts is built around.
But Tony was heading up
through that with the treasurer.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So I just is my own information. If we looked at all the places in the city that money comes in, I mean, small pieces come into the library, but I mean, do we feel like we've got that so we understand it and we know how much it is, and then it gets to what is the process of that? Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
So that's the one that
that's
you're working
what we're documenting.
On. So it may be as a result of all that work that you don't necessarily have to have you come in to do it, but you know, management within can make sure at least.
Although my understanding was, we have a subcommittee that Tony chairs that was looking specifically at literally currency and checks that were coming into the city and various places. And my understanding, Tony, was that you've done some initial interviews, but that this was specifically too much for management to handle internally this summer, and the idea was that Chris and his team were going to take the lead on this. At least that was my understanding. Is that correct?
In terms of the immediacy, yes. I mean, that's why what we did was we focused on one, schools is a whole different issue, but on the city side, that's why we focused on the partial. I think everybody's a little reluctant to try to get into the police department because of other things that are going on there. So the police department does not make any sense at this point to try to get into. Or I don't have the authority to go into, ask Chris to go into the police department.
To me, it's important to do the police department sometime relatively soon. It doesn't have to be this month, but if it's not now, it needs to be scheduled for early 2013.
The treasurer's office has gone into the police department, and the assistant treasurer has made some recommendations, I know.
And it's a site visit. It's not an audit examination. So let's
and define those two terms for us.
Do you?
I'll take it. Hey. What we do when we go in for a site visit is we literally document the systems.
What's happening?
And that's all I care about. Do you have systems in place that is safeguarding the cash receipts process? Document that, we write it up, and we're done. We don't go back and, you know, as part of when we document, we will follow a couple of transactions through. We're not going back and figuring out
what happened.
All right, what happened in the last 12 months, or you know, whatever that is. We're just totally worried about the system. We document it and say, okay, I think you got a weakness here, here, and here, and that's what we would report. In
might be a few suggestions.
Correct.
That's handed back to management to do something with.
It sounds like that's exactly what we need, though.
Well, as an example, as an illustration, that's going to be able to be transferable to the 20 other locations. You know, there's a commonality in what's going on in Parks and Rec and everywhere else that's handling remote transactions.
Are you sure of that?
Absolutely. In different grades, different ways. But so whatever he finds at Park and Rec is going to be representative of what's going on in one way or another everywhere else. And so it'll be useful to have that framework. But that's all it is, a framework.
Right. So you almost have a template that says, this is the monies that come in. It's received by these people for this purpose. When they receive it, this is what they do with it. And this is how they record it.
And here's how they're safeguarding it while they're holding it, and so on and so forth. Just this 5 or 6 points to be made about every location.
Right. Can I probe this one more time and ask Dave? My understanding is we were so decentralized and so individual that what was happening in one department was not necessarily at all what was happening in another. But is that as a misunderstanding on my part?
Different departments. Some departments are going to be better. I'm sure if we walked into the school department, there'd be safekeeping procedures, there'd be documentation of the receipt transactions, and you walk into some other department and there'll be nothing. They have no idea how they accumulated this cash. They just need to turn it over to the treasurer and get rid of it. You know, so there's going to be a range of, but what's underlying that, the actual transaction is happening everywhere. So you'll find places that are weaker and places that are stronger. And then it's just a question of who in this city administration, is it the treasurer or is it somebody else, is going to impose a uniform set of minimum requirements.
With regard to the police department, I think that we have to be very, very careful how we handle going in there, you know, right now. I'm not arguing for or against. I know why you might want to go in there, but we've got one lawsuit for sure pending and probably a second one, and who knows what's going to come after that. And I think we have to be careful that we don't go in there and, you know, there's some information that comes about that can either harm the city. You know, I think we have to be real, real careful right now.
I agree. And I think that going into Parks and Rec, which you said is like the second most important one, and then having this template and having in place a process is what the city needs to say, this is, you know, we had a problem, we've gone in, we're investigating it, we're putting in place processes and procedures, we're going to be testing them internally. That's what you need to do, I think.
So with Parks and Rec, my sense is, I don't know this for sure, but by far their busiest time of the year is during the summer when they have so many different camps and things going on.
Right.
Are you going to be able to look into how they handle things at the highest peak? Even though this is the fall now, because they're not anywhere near as busy as far as collecting money in the fall.
One of the most important things about like a Parks and Rec program, because they have so many programs going on, is what's the accountability for the program? So if their systems are designed properly, I can go back and I should be able to prove out how much money they should have collected on a given day during the summer. So let's say they had a tennis program from 8 to 12, a tennis clinic, and they charged, they should have fee schedule, all that stuff. Well, I should be able to know how many participants, how much was the fee, and then tie that back to some type of accounting, to a deposit slip, and follow it through. That we should be able to do. If that doesn't exist, well, I know where we're heading from a documentation standpoint. They need a lot of work done with their systems. So I think the downtime, I would probably say it'll be welcomed better from their end, but it shouldn't have any bearing on the quality.
I'm certainly comfortable with this plan for the fall. I'd still push it a little bit more, which is I think it'd be useful to have a plan for what other departments we're going to do and in what time frame, whether it's 2013 and 14. I don't even know how many years, but I don't know who creates that plan.
Well, it's because we're saying in the past, it was the audit subcommittee of the Subcommittee of the Finance Committee that would actually provide the direction. The ideal time is in spring before they start the preliminary work. When we have that preliminary meeting, that's the time for the audit committee to give Chris, you know, your sense of where you'd like to see him focus if it's going to be as part of the audit. If we want to do something separate, then we could do that at any time. And we could.
Now, and I think one thing to consider, right, is that as part of the audit, we can go out and do a few site visits here and there, but, you know, take 15 years to get you what I know you're looking for, which is where are we at with all the policies and procedures when it comes to the decentralized cash receipts process. I don't want this to sound wrong, but I just got to be real. We're doing an audit,
right,
and we don't mind providing added value in doing site visits. But we can't do 15 to 20 a year.
Right.
It's not realistic. Do you know what I mean? So I wanted to throw that out there because I think it is good, number one, to have your auditors go out and do some of these site visits, because there's plenty of departments that never get looked at, and that's just the way that it is. That doesn't mean that, and this is what I tell everybody, is that I have to worry about materiality from an audit standpoint, because at the end of the day, my reputation's on the line when it comes to the financial statements. That's really the most important thing to me. But the most important thing that has to exist with the boards of the city, the personnel of the city, is I don't care if $10 is stolen, but you do, and you should. But it doesn't have an impact on my opinion on the financial statements. But it does impact you. So I think above and beyond, you know, and I think it's good to have your auditor say, you know what, I want people who do this on a daily basis and know how systems work and how they should work, go out and look at two or three departments a year. I think that's a good thing. But if you're looking for the full kit and caboodle, then I think you got to come up with a plan to get to that point. Or worry about, you know, start with the biggest and work towards the smallest over a period of time. So
we're going to be visiting with you again in December. You'll have done Parks and Rec by then.
Yep.
So I think that would be a logical time to revisit this. I would also encourage Tony, as the chair of this subcommittee, to think about what we should be doing internally versus what, how much we want to use Chris and his team to do work, and over what time period you think we should be doing this in. Does that sound like a plan?
And I would add to that, because I've heard you reference it several times, the decentralization of all of this stuff, that in an organization the size of Newton, there ought to be more centralization in any organization, that, whether it's a city or a not-for-profit and so on. And I don't know, I can't get the feel from all of you, it's like, is there pushback from the bottom up? Is there resistance from the top down to say, to manage a city the size of Newton, we need more centralization, more processes, procedures? And I know you're talking about a systems person that, or a systems organization that you have. That's a great opportunity to be standardizing things. So I just don't know the answer to that. I think it's...
Well, part of the answer is that you have different... Well,
yeah. Well, I think the reality of it is that we have more than 70 buildings. We have, I think it's 24 departments plus the school department on top of that. We have so many locations where citizens come, whether it's with a check or cash, that it's really impossible to centralize in that sense. What is possible, though, is to have a standard set of procedures that we expect everybody in the city to follow. And that's what I think we would get from Chris going and taking a look at Parks and Rec. I can certainly think of a few departments that I would be willing to bet probably have terrible procedures. They're the smaller departments that people never take a look at. But so I don't think centralization ought to be the goal in that sense, and I don't think it's realistic. But I think having a standard procedure is what we ought to be striving for. You know, and accepting time for people to get their money over here to City Hall. We have departments, I'm sure, who are just holding on to money for a month, 6 weeks at a time. You know, we should have a 24-hour turnaround that every day
they're
coming
here.
And
that is policy.
I know, but they don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Not all.
I don't know. I'm a citizen now, so I'm a citizen. I think we need to be bold and say, if we were starting with a clean sheet of paper and we thought about where cash, what kind of cash comes into the city, why would we not think of limiting the places? We've talked about this before. We've talked about City Hall being the place, and any other place, it's all my credit card. And, you know, so citizens are going to say, oh, I used to give Mary my $10. Well, tough. You know, really. I don't know, that's just my thought.
Well, we talked about this a little bit. I'm not sure if it was this committee or a subcommittee.
It was a subcommittee. And
so while Chris is here, because the more we talk about this and the problems that handling of cash cause at some point, I keep coming back to, you know, why do we even allow people to handle cash, especially in the year, you know, 2012? Now, Tony made the argument that it's an inconvenience to people if you don't accept cash. I think
it's also a cost because we can't pay the fees on the credit card. Mm-hmm. As a public entity, we don't have a budget to pay the 3% of everything you take over the till to the credit card company.
Well, I don't think it has to be all or nothing. I think you got to look at where...
So when we take credit cards, we are adding a fee, a service fee.
Well, then you're saying that you must come and pay it in City Hall, or you have a...
Yes,
I mean, this is a big city, but it isn't. Los Angeles.
It's a push and pull of customer service, customer expectations, customer irascibility, and where do you want these transactions to occur? Let's inventory them first. Let's see what the nature of them is, and then let's curtail them. There might be places like the police department where there could be a sign, checks only, no cash. Yeah. That could be a rule that you would impose in certain locations. But I'm not so sure, but, you know, the idea that you have of saying, you know, use your plastic, not so simple.
Or checks.
It's not so simple.
Or places. I'm not sure whether, when I hear you talk, I don't know if we're talking about there are 50 places in Newton people turn over.
So there are 70
close.
Buildings.
They're probably close. The schools have 21 schools.
Okay, but this, yeah.
But no, that's what I'm saying. So there are, okay, so that would be kind of like the schools.
No,
21 places.
No,
I understand. But 21 places in a school, I would think the schools would be easier to get control.
Sometimes no. It depends if teachers are collecting the money.
You know, it can be a drama teacher, it can be a sports coach, it can be the homeroom teacher, it can be the...
There's so many, it's hard to quantify, but I have to say, I've been working with Dave for a lot of years, and, you know, by and large, my watchword is the absolute less cash, the better. Just, if at all possible, no cash. Bad things happen when there's cash. Procedures that you say have to be followed don't always get followed. I mean, the school lunch program is almost now completely on the point of sale and online accounts.
Right.
Like a debit system, and that was a huge removal of cash that
preloaded
used to sit
card,
on tables waiting to be changed, waiting to be counted.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fee payments are either paid online or by check. Very, very little cash.
And that's looking at the risk. There's a lot of money in the school lunch program, so we got to do something. Even if it costs us something to do, we have to do it. There are other places where you wouldn't want to make that investment, or you wouldn't make that decision. But maybe you do completely cut off the option of cash at all in certain locations that are not prepared to deal with it, that don't have a register, that don't have any way to
document the transaction. Or you set your fees to assume a cost of the transaction, because then you automatically have the records of every single payment.
Right.
So there's this holistic kind of discussion that I think is still in our future, so that I think, again, we're back to the first step with Parks and Rec this fall, but having the plan for thinking through the whole system is going to be an important task for 2013, is my guess.
Well, and I think I would just end with this, saying that everybody's talking about controls and, you know, theft of or misappropriation of cash, misuse of cash, it's not going to go away.
Okay. Right.
Because, and that's why, I mean, we've had a comment in the management letter for a long time, the risk assessment monitoring program, and I think I told you last time, it's a great concept, it's a great thing, it's difficult to implement. But I think with the way that you're talking about this, you need to know what's going on at all the sites. I think that's the first thing. You identify it, you identify the controls, and then you start making decisions based on risk. Because there are going to be those little departments like, wow, those controls are absolutely terrible. But you know what? They collect $800 a year, and it's going to cost more to put in the control than they collect. We move on. You accept that risk.
You know what Lenny's thinking right now, because he said it at the last meeting. A lower number than 800, you know, is the cause of this whole lawsuit going on in the police department.
That's
so
right.
That needs to factor into the risk, not just the amount of cash.
Absolutely, but I think
I
right.
You can see it.
That's right.
It's got a bubble on it.
But I think what's important is, and I think one of the most important things is the awareness. Okay, because anytime fraud occurs, most of the time fraud occurs, management or the board sits back and goes, oh my God, how didn't we know about this? How did those controls are that bad that they couldn't catch this? How'd it get by us? Those are always the questions. And usually what happens is that they were never told because they either, one, somebody was hiding it from them, or two, they didn't have a formal risk assessment monitoring program. They didn't go back and have, see, the one thing that Massachusetts governments is lacking, and for the most part, I think always have, are internal audit divisions. Those are huge, I mean, I know you know this, those are huge components of internal control. It's a huge component of corporations. You're a corporation, trust me, right? But you don't have an internal audit department. City of Worcester doesn't have an internal audit department. City of Boston, I think, is probably one of the only ones that has a large, appropriate internal audit division. So that is, you know, you're almost starting from behind. But the awareness, and I understand what you're saying, yep, less than $800 is causing all of this headache. That will probably always happen. I just don't know. I think you'd probably been happier if you made, if you knew you made a decision 5 years ago, if you knew what the systems were, and you said, well, you know what? We can tweak it here and tweak it there. It's not going to cost us any money. Just do your processes a little bit better. And if it then still happened, you would probably feel at least a little bit better the fact that, well, you know what? It was going to cost us $10,000 to put in a control to make this work, because guess what? There was a lack of segregation of duties, and sometimes you just have to deal with that depending on the department that you deal with. The bottom line is the awareness. You're making a decision based on information that's in front
of you. But just one question. I'm glad you brought this up, because while Chris was here, are you aware of any communities that have a policy that just says check or credit card, no cash?
Yes, we have some clients. I don't think it is, it's not city or town wide, but there are certain places that will only take cash, or excuse me, check or credit card. Sure.
Okay.
And then you'll run into the occasional citizen who will say, you are required by federal law to take my cash, and he's and that citizen is correct. So.
And I think then you could say, okay, city halls, offices are X hours.
Is that straightforward? That clear?
It's legal tender, that's what it means. And if somebody wants to pay me $5,000 in cash in single dollar bills, I don't think I have to take coin, but in single dollar bills and count it out on the counter, that's, you know, I have to take it.
But we don't have a problem if they come to City Hall and do that.
No, but just, you know, it's not as complex as we're making it, but it is not completely simple. So it's somewhere in the middle, and we have to find that happy medium of knowing what we're doing. That's the first step, and then deciding what we want to do at each location.
And how far along are we on knowing exactly what we're doing in each location, not just where we're taking in currency, but also how the process that's being used in each of these locations?
Well,
are we a long ways away?
Maybe Dave is completely aware, but that's what I'm meeting with the treasurer on.
So, Tony, it could be as simple as saying that, I think this is what you were saying, that if somebody goes to Parks and Rec and they want to pay their $200 camp fee in cash, you could have a policy that says if you're going to pay in cash, you need to go to City Hall.
Yeah, it could be. Or you could have an online terminal saying if you want to use your credit card, pay here, but you will incur an added fee, but you're allowed to use this terminal to hook into our system, into our online payment system. Yeah, every location could have a terminal that ties into, you know, for $10, for $2, for anything that ties into the city's system. Now that's a capital, you know, some cost to set that up and to wire it all, but it could be you know, that's another solution.
Okay.
Regarding the schedule to completion, we've laid out that we will issue a draft to the controller's office, the first draft by no later than October 31st. The draft of the management letter reports on federal award programs, that will be issued no later than November 9th. And like I was mentioning before, depending on the timing of our performing the Our Energy Efficiency Grant, the audit procedures, that may or may not be complete by that November 9th draft date. We're then anticipating issuing final drafts November 30th, which we're hoping to include management's responses to any management letter comments, as well as findings in the federal report. And then the December 6th or the 13th exit conference with this committee. And do we know what that date is yet?
We do. It's the 6th.
Okay.
When you do your management report, do you give us an update on what has happened on the comments from the last one? You know, the reports that we've been working on, you'll say this has been completed or not.
We don't include it in the management letter itself, but I will update you as to what we took off of the prior year management letter that is no longer in the current year management letter. And then after our exit conference on the 6th, if everybody is comfortable with the reports, et cetera, we'll start the finalization process of all this. So they'll be issued, obviously, prior to December 31st.
All right, so before we leave the exit conference, you and I talked about this a little bit. I think that the establishment of this committee has been extremely helpful. The only thing that I think needs to happen is there needs to be a report also given to the Finance Committee. I don't think that the Finance Committee can just delegate the entire process to this committee. So I'm just wondering if the exit conference shouldn't be done with both the Financial Audit Advisory Committee and the Finance Committee so that we don't duplicate efforts and do it at the same time. Because I need to keep the rest of the committee in the loop.
Sure.
So you and I can talk
about
that.
Absolutely. And the question is whether this group comes to a Monday night evening or if that's the better way to do it rather than trying to encourage the Finance Committee to come to a morning meeting.
I think we need to do it like when we would normally have a finance committee so that it's we're not doing something outside the norm in case there are other members of the public.
Right.
So, and I also don't want to set up extra meetings for this group, so I'm hoping maybe we could find a date where folks could, you know, we'll make sure it's the first item taken up, if not the only item, and get right to it at 7 o'clock at night. And it that way.
Sounds right to me. Is that still comfortable?
Just so I understand, you're talking about two separate meetings. You'll have the final meeting with us and then a set, you know, a meeting at night in front of us.
No, I was thinking of trying to just do one meeting so that, because we want you folks to be at the finance meeting if you so choose, because you've done a lot of the work, and I was thinking to try and reduce the number of meetings that we could do it at the same time.
Finance and school committee meet the same nights.
Well, even aside from that, I guess, I mean, I'm not trying to create process for the sake of process, but I'm wondering if, gets back to a question I think I asked in the very first meeting. I mean, we are the finance committee still ultimately has responsibility for everything here. So I'm just wondering whether, from a process standpoint, we should have the final meeting with us, and then there's a formal presentation and meeting with the finance committee, and you exercise your authority that you're supposed to exercise, rather than be part of a process where we're hearing it and you're hearing it
for the first time
together. You don't even have to answer.
Yes, I want to follow up on that, because I think there needs to be some time between today and that meeting with the Finance Committee, when this committee gets a report from Chris and has time to meet with Chris and management not present. So I don't know on our timing if that's there. So there should be a time that we meet with you.
Well, then, I mean, I appreciate trying to consolidate. But maybe what we do, do you remember in the past, usually it was like an hour and a half meeting and you had it for the Finance Committee, somewhere around there. If we have the December 6th meeting with this committee, you get the full report functioning as the audit committee. maybe that finance committee meeting, the audit piece really gets tailored down and summarized because your subcommittee has already done the work related to it.
I expect that our meeting with finance will be shorter than it has been in the past, for sure, because a lot of the work will have been done. And if you're saying that we should do it separately, and we want to do the meeting with finance in, say, early January, which is usually a light meeting to begin with, and if you're willing to come back, we can do it that way, if that's what people think makes sense.
I guess the only thing I would ask, are you going to, is the finance committee going to be okay if the reports are issued by 12/31 and I haven't met with the entire finance committee?
Well, then I'll do it, I'll find a time in December if we have to do it.
Okay.
We can do it at our first, I don't even know if we'll have to, will we have to meet?
What?
We'll do it in December then, okay. After the 6th.
After the 6th, okay. We'll I have no problem coming back for that, you know, for a night and do, hopefully it'll be a half hour instead of the hour and a half.
Right.
We usually did that, because the hour and a half I would anticipate would be here with this committee going through the financials and the presentation.
And so. Then we'll just make sure that we let everybody on this committee know when we're doing that in case if they want to attend, since they put in all the work, they're more than welcome.
This committee also owes the full finance committee kind of an annual report, so it may make sense to write that up for that finance committee in December so that they have also seen what work we've done during the year.
Okay.
And I'm willing to draft that and send that around to the committee for edits. Sometime late November. Does that sound okay?
I think the only other thing I would like to add for today is, formulated our engagement letter years ago, the way that it works is we originally scheduled 7 federal grants per year. And the way that we set it up is if we audit 6 grants, I'm not going to charge you for 7. We'll reduce the price. We'll reduce our fixed fee by the, I think it's $4,600 per grant. However, when there's more, we're going to issue a change order because the scope of the audit changes when you have to audit more major federal programs. So, just to make everybody aware, we had to audit 9 major federal grants this year. So, this month I'll be issuing a change order to David for $9,200. For the additional grants that we had to audit this year. And that's it from an audit status standpoint. Like I said, I think everything's going well. We are on schedule. The only thing that I say I have any concerns about right now, the only thing that would hold us back is the Aura Energy Efficiency Grant. But if for some reason that wasn't done by December 6th, wasn't substantial, wasn't totally complete, it won't hold us up from issuing your financials prior to 12/31. So I just want to let everybody know that.
How's everything look?
I have
to ask that. I didn't even say that.
That's for our December meeting, we're saying.
Yeah, but what's the quick early October preview?
I haven't even got into the detail of the numbers.
Got it.
I don't want to say
on a fully accrued on a fully accrued liability basis, well, we lost money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. Anything else? Chris, thank you. We're grateful.
Thank you.
I think we're all done at 9.
Like 9.
Why did you
get on? Johnny, you probably have that date, right? For December, you can give to Chris.
December 10th. Okay. My birthday. What a lovely way to have my birthday.